This is our interview with the 2022 NATCA Archery League Medal of Safety winner for the New England region, Patrick Sullivan of Boston Tower. Welcome, Patrick, and thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you.
All right, so let's get started. Just a few questions for you. How long have you been a controller?
This is my 23rd year. I was at Nantucket for my first 7 years.
Did you like Nantucket?
I loved it. I grew up in Nantucket, so.
Oh, that's. I know you. You said that you were picking your, I think your son up from Nantucket for the summer.
Yes.
Awesome. That's awesome. Have you worked at any other facilities other than Nantucket and Boston?
Just Nantucket and Boston.
Cool. Yeah. Which one did you like better?
I loved both of them for their own separate ways.
Oh yeah. What made you want to become an air traffic controller?
It was actually just out of luck. It was a local hiring program. They offered it to island residents, and I think about 8 of us took an ATSAT test, and 3 of us passed. 2 of the 3 are still on Nantucket that I took the test with. And yeah, I didn't really have a strong aviation background or interest when I first started.
But, so you got in during like a specific Nantucket like hiring bid? Was that?
It was a pilot program that maybe they offered for 3 or 4 years and maybe about 7 controllers. I mean, you only need about 11 for that facility, I think, roughly anyways. But about 7 or 8 were hired into that program. And most stayed. Maybe four of us eventually transferred off.
Cool. Awesome. So any other background information that you want everyone to know about you in particular, kids, family?
Two children, my wife and I. We have a soon-to-be 14-year-old and a soon-to-be 13-year-old, boy and girl. And we live in Windham, New Hampshire, just over the border. It's 38 miles to Logan. Door-to-door.
That's not a bad considering some of the commutes people have to Boston. That's not a bad commute.
Yeah, I studied healthcare administration in college. Nothing to do with aviation.
Oh, that's a total different change, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Awesome. But,
yeah.
So take us back to March 15th around 11:30 p.m. local time. Can you describe the situation that happened with the beach jet at Boston Tower?
Well, it was a typical overnight shift. We had most of the air carriers going in and out, and this beach jet called for his taxi instructions, and I gave it to him, and he read it back incorrectly, and I gave it to him a second time, and he read it back again incorrectly. And so in the back of your head, you're kind of like, I want to pay attention a little bit more to this particular pilot than normal. And he was taxiing out. He didn't have the right squawk, and he turned his transponder off and to try to reset it. And I gave him a squawk again. And I think I might have even given the taxi instructions one more time to just, you know, to make sure. And so in order to get to runway 9 at Boston, you have to cross runway 4 left. And so as he was crossing 4 left, then you make a 90-degree turn to a taxiway mic, which will bring you right to runway 9. And he didn't do that, and he was going right for runway 4 right as an aircraft was landing. And, you know, I jumped up and said, stop, and he stopped, and he just said, thank you. And then he asked me if he was in trouble, and I said, he didn't cross the runway. He didn't get onto the runway. No, but just stay right there until there's a couple more arrivals, and we're going to get that runway clear, and then we'll be able to let you get onto that runway and turn around to get to the right runway. We weren't going to assign a new runway, have them just continue to a different runway. We just felt it was, let's just make sure there's no planes in the area. He'll turn around on the runway he was about to get on. And we got him to the right runway, and he took off. And the controller that I was working with, who I work a lot with on the overnights, Rob Lawn, him and I just looked at each other and just, you know, deep breath and on to the next. But I personally think it's something we see a lot of Boston, the taxiways. They're all intersecting runways, and the taxiways are all, it's a complex for any pilot, especially a corporate pilot that's not routinely going through in and out of Boston. You know, I appreciate Rob for recommending me for this. But I know that many people I've worked next to over the past years have done the same exact thing. And it's just something you see and you do, and you take a deep breath and you move on to the next function. So
awesome. Do you think that the way that the taxiway and said that particular setup, because you said that you have to make a 90-degree turn. You think that is it considered a hot spot at your airport or anything like that?
I don't even consider that like the biggest hot spot. There's definitely hot spots at the airport, but I think as a pilot you have to be really focused on understanding the instructions you're given properly.
Right. How do you think that your training has prepared you to handle situations like this? Is there any like particular thing that you can remember in training, whether it be like a recurrent training type of thing or just working off of experience? Is there anything that sticks out in your brain that you think helped in the situation?
I think a lot of the controllers, the older controllers that I used to work with, they pushed you to make sure you're paying attention. You're not turning around the back of the tower cab having conversations. And they really, really emphasized face this direction. You know, you're always can be doing something. You're always going to catch something. Stuff is always happening. So I definitely credit the older controllers that I've worked with over the years.
Awesome. Tell me about working with your coworkers. How did you communicate during the save? Do you think your communication abilities helped in the situation? How did your coworker help you at all? Or
well, we go down to two controllers for the overnight shift, and I work with mostly with Rob Lawn, and I think he does a great job. He's new to Boston, but I think he's really developing into a really strong controller, and I think we work pretty well together.
Awesome. Do you deal with unfamiliar pilots often at Boston?
We have a lot of GA corporate jets that come in and out. Now, there's a lot of construction right now, which even makes it more challenging, but they have restricted the corporate traffic in out of Boston to more regional airports due to the construction that they're doing with the international terminal.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, every time there's a GA, you're heightened focus.
Right. You answered all of my questions in like your beginning portion of the interview. And the one first question, I was like, well, there goes that question. No, it's all right. That's good. Yeah, I mean, it seems like a pretty straightforward thing that a lot of controllers happen to see all over the NAS. We are all trained to look out the window, keep looking for stuff, keep scanning. And I know that when I was at Bradley, I had situations similar to this, not as exciting as yours. Those things that like they come out in your head, you're like, wait a minute, I've had to give him taxi instructions multiple times and he keeps getting them wrong. So those clues help you kind of keep an eye on like, oh, I need to pay more attention to this guy. Was this pilot like a foreign pilot at all? I know you get a lot of international.
I felt like he might have been an older pilot, maybe a corporate pilot his whole life that just didn't fly in and out of Boston, major airports, and kind of maybe didn't write the instructions down properly. Or
right.
And he just read them back out loud and without taking them in.
Right. Thinking, oh, I can remember this. Oh, I just came up with one and now I don't remember what it was. Do you think that like fatigue might have come into play? Because I know you said that this was the overnight shift and you work a lot of overnight shifts. Do you think fatigue comes into play when you have a lot of pilots on flying around on the overnight shift?
Well, we do hear that, like, you know, you hear that all the time that, oh, it's been a long day. And internally, I say to myself, would you say that to your passengers in the back? Like, you know, that's what we signed up for. Would I much rather be home at 11:30 at night? Sure. But I think sometimes when, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and we have a full final, like you want to look at the pilots and say that, you know, maybe give them a little bit extra space because they have been flying all night and do try to maybe slow the speech, maybe be enunciate clearly. And you do give them the benefit of the doubt that they might be a little tired.
Do you have any other things to say about the situation that happened? Any notes about safety? Any recommendations for younger controllers? Maybe like myself, when it comes to safety and ensuring the safety of your airspace or your airport?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you can try to eliminate the distractions, that goes, I know it can be boring at times when you're not busy, but those are the times you really need to catch the mistakes that, you know, why didn't you catch that? You weren't even busy enough to.
Thank you. I think that's it. This is my first time doing this interview. Well, thank you for doing this interview. I appreciate it.